Deuteronomy chapter 30, continuing from the matter of choices. I'm going to read you some 5 scriptures because the choices have to do with God and others and yourself. Choices God made, choices others made, and then choices you are to make. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed, to love the Lord thy God, to obey his voice, and to cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, who did them. Now, Joshua 24, today I'll be able to give some details that I only introduced last week. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Chapter 14, verse 7. And he spake a parable unto those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, the chief seats. And the last scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 34. 11:34 of Hebrews, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, we are so glad that you have shown us more in life than the bad things men have chosen. You've shown us in life more than the good things that men have chosen. You have shown us the good and the bad. Our Father, that is not the inclination of our hearts. We sang that song this morning, prone to wander. Lord, that is not what we are by nature. And because of that, we are thankful that you have shown us the outcome, the issue of the lives of those that were prone to wander and did wander. And thou hast shown us the abundant reward of those, in spite of that proneness, who followed thee. So, our God, concerning the scriptures that we've read this morning, may thy Spirit inform us, teach us, illumine us, and may we see the evil and eschew it, and may we see the good and follow it. Thy Spirit alone can accomplish this. So work upon the hearts of those who are here and empower the lips of him to speak that the words may be effectual. And we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised. We commit all unto thee. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Think of the choices that we've read about in the scriptures and realize that some of the choices God made, some of the choices others made, and some of the choices, personal choices, were made. I can think of no other kinds of choices other than those that God makes, those that men other than ourselves make, and our personal choices. But the scripture sets before us all three choices, and what irritates us at times is that God makes choices of people and places and things that do not please us. But God makes those choices, and he teaches us in his word what our reaction is to be when he makes a choice. There are others in the Bible who make choices that adversely affect us. And God tells us what we are to do when others make choices that affect us in a way that is irritating, that is unpleasant. And then there are choices in the Bible that we are to make personally. And God tells us the outcome if the choice is a good choice, and he tells us the outcome if it's a bad choice. So what you must understand is that there are people in the world, and there is a God in heaven, who make choices, and for some reason, these choices are not always agreeable to you. You would change them if you could. But what I want to do is to show you from the scripture the consequences of rejecting God's choices, and at times the consequences of accepting other men's choices, and then the solemn responsibility of making your own choices about certain issues that God sets before us. I read you only five scriptures, but I read scores of scriptures having to do with decisions, choices, inclinations, and I will tell you as much as possible in this time given to us about these choices. First of all, understand this. Do not fight against it. That God has made choices. That God, at the very first, chose a people to the exclusion of other people, and with that people, Israel, he was to have them to reach out, influence, and cause to be a blessing to other nations. But whether we like it or not, God chose Israel. Even before Israel, he chose Abraham. And then Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. God chose Isaac. And Isaac had a son named Jacob and his twin brother Esau, and God chose Jacob. And so whenever that happens, that there are choices to be made, someone is going to disagree with the choice that is made. But God said, I'm choosing Abraham, and I'm choosing Isaac and Jacob, and then I'm choosing the nation of Israel. What you have to do is this. Ascertain that God has chosen a certain people and accept it. It is just that simple. You say, but God is going to change it. He tells us in the New Testament, when he sums up his dealings with Israel in the past, the present, and the future, he says that, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning Israel, that a hardening in part hath befallen them until the fullness of the Gentiles do come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. It says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God will deal with them. God will punish those that are not true Israelites. But God said, I have chosen them. I have made promises to them through Abraham, and those promises are not repented of. And some people hate it. And because of that, God judges those that hate it. You simply adjust to it. So, if, as in the case of the Syrophoenician woman, the Lord Jesus, who had told his disciples at first, go not into any of the ways of the Gentiles, do not go with the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we as Gentiles at that time, in God's economy, we go and we seek a blessing from God. And the Lord Jesus says, it is not fitting to take the children's breakfast basket to the dogs. I tell you what you do. Become indignant and go away the way that Naaman did. If you do that, you'll get no blessing. But if the Lord Jesus makes certain pronouncements concerning you and you agree with him, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. The woman said, that is correct, Lord. You don't give the children's bread to the dogs, but they get the crumbs that fall off the table. And the Lord said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. You see what happens when you resist the choices of God? You get nothing. But if you accept the choices of God, even though you're not included at that time, you can get a blessing from God even then. God has chosen the people, then you accept his choice. The trouble with Israel is that God not only chose that people, and the other nations were indignant, but among the people that God chose, he took one tribe, the Levites, and he said, you are going to do the service of the tabernacle. And of that tribe of Levi, he took one family, the family of Aaron, who said, you are going to be my priests. Now, as we look at God and say, why did you choose Israel? So the Israelites themselves look at God and say, why did you choose Levi? Why did you choose Aaron? No matter what choices God makes, if that choice is not you, then you will say, why? But I would bring to your attention that when Korah and those that were with him rose up and rebelled against the choices God had made, you remember the consequences? Those that were on Korah's side stood by themselves, and the earth opened up and swallowed all of those who rebelled against the choice of God. So I better take that to heart. And then in the very next chapter, he said, I'm going to give you a positive sign as to the one that I've chosen. And you remember the 12 rods that were placed in the presence of God, and the rod that budged, that is the one that I've chosen. And Aaron's rod budded. The only thing we can do is, if God has chosen a people and leaders, we accept those that God has chosen. That's the only way to get along with it. You accept it. As long as there is rebellion, then the earth will swallow you up, or God will show you plainly the ones that he's chosen. So remember, God has chosen a people, God has chosen leaders among people, then accept it. God, I told you, chose a place. More than any other thing concerning choices, he speaks about this. He says, the place where my name is to dwell. The place where my name is to dwell. And God chose Jerusalem as the place where his name was to dwell. And then he said, now three times in the year, I want all the males to come to Jerusalem, the place where I have caused my name to dwell. And think of that. Now, if I happen to live in Jerusalem, or close to Jerusalem, that's good. It's like this. We have men's conferences, and sometimes they're in Durham, sometimes they're in Greensboro, sometimes in Charlotte, and I go to those. But sometimes they're up in New York, sometimes they're in Florida, and I confess that usually I do not go to those meetings. But God said, concerning the place where I am causing my name to dwell, you have no choice in the matter. You come and appear before me three times in the year. And so, in brief, if God has chosen a place, then visit that place. Go to that place. It's the only thing to do. But, as soon as God chooses a place, there are others that rebel against God who have other places. Now, Jeroboam said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. And so I will set up places of worship in Dan and Bethel. Now, these are the places that you go. And the people said, well, it is convenient. And so instead of going to Jerusalem, we will go to Dan and we will go to Bethel. And therefore, he drew away all the hearts of Israel away from the true place and the true God that they were to serve. If God has chosen a place, then visit it. And there is no place today. There is no evidence that God has chosen today. No matter how magnificent, no matter how symbolical, the place to which God would have us come today is the person of Jesus Christ. For two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. It is not a place like the temple at Jerusalem, but at that time it was. And so, there was no other choice. But let me tell you one thing, as to why this building is in existence. It's because, way back in the early 50s, there was a man named Harlan Snow, and because he wanted to gather to the name of the Lord Jesus, he had to drive up to Raleigh. Every Sunday, he drove back and forth to Raleigh, because the Lord Jesus said, this being remembered to me, and he did it. And he said, is it not possible that someone could come down and we could arrange a gathering to the name of the Lord? And I was the one that was invited down, and here we are. And so now, we do not have to drive to Raleigh. We have a place where the Lord Jesus' name is gathered to. I shan't elaborate, but I will tell you, there are those things that it was inconvenient to travel that great distance every Lord's Day because God had said there is a place where my name is to be placed. And he went there. All right. There are also certain rituals that God gave to Israel. He said, there is a pattern that I expect you to follow. And Israel only briefly followed that pattern. But when the kings went to a foreign place and saw a more magnificent altar upon which to worship God, they had that altar shipped, and the altar of God was displaced, and they took this magnificent altar in the center of things. So the pattern that God gave, men soon learned to set it aside. Why? There was not much glory to that brazen altar, 7 by 7. But look at this magnificent altar. I'm having it shipped in from the heathen, and we're going to worship God in a way that impresses people. And so that is what they did. But I mentioned this, that God has chosen certain things. And if God has chosen a people, then you accept them. And if he has chosen a place, visit it. And if he has chosen a pattern, then follow it. Because to disregard these things that God has chosen, and please notice, these are not things that man chose. It was not that man said, Israel is the greatest nation. God had already told him, you were an insignificant nation. And the place? Why Jerusalem? God alone knows, because there are more beautiful places on earth in the eyes of men that God could have chosen. But God said, this is where I choose. And the strange patterns of worship that God has chosen, that if God chose them, I suppose that being omniscient, He knows what patterns are significant, and so we simply follow the patterns that God chooses. But now this. The choices God makes, of course, we have to follow. And if we do not, it's to our own hurt. But there are other choices that other men make, and they may be good choices, or they may be bad choices. Please notice that at the first, God instructed man to avoid the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there was another man that made a choice, and it was a wrong choice, and it involved me. That was the bad thing. When Adam, with Eve, his wife, chose to partake of the tree of good and evil, their choice affected me. Now, if you choose certain things, and they do not affect me, all right. But if you choose something and it does affect me, take that into consideration. And if Adam had to think of this, that the choice that he made did not influence himself alone, that it has influenced all mankind, because it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So think of the choices that others have made, and when you see the condition that you are in because of a wrong choice another has made, you do not deny it, and you do not cry out against it, but what you do is to alter it. Do you understand? You alter it. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. I find myself in Adam by natural generation. I can only find myself in Christ by regeneration. And in that respect, it is a decision I have to make. And because of that, please notice that even though we are dead in trespasses and in sins, God says, I place before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And this is what God says. God says, choose life. And who are they that say man cannot choose, when God himself says, choose life? And why would God cry out in Ezekiel, for why will you die, O house of Israel? As to his choice of his church before the creation of the world, that is a matter that we can take up in detail at a different time, that whatever have been the decrees of heaven, and God has not told us, he says, choose life, choose the blessing. I set before you life and death. Do you think God is a God who says, I set before you life and death, now choose life, knowing that we cannot choose life unless we are among the elect? Is that the kind of God you believe in? You say, no, and it's not the kind of God that is set forth in the Scripture. He says, I set before you life and death, and he gives this encouragement, therefore, choose life. It says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel, in the things of earth and in the things of heaven? And so someone might say this, well, I could see, looking at the nation of Israel that God had chosen then, I understand that, but how do I know whether God has chosen me that I am among the elect? The remarkable thing is this. The only way that a man can ever know that God chose him in Christ before the foundation of the world is when he, in time, chooses Christ as his Savior. No one else will ever know. There is no one who can tell you, I see your name, you are the one that was chosen. No one ever knows until after he trusts Christ. And then after you trust Christ, then you know that you were chosen in Christ. I remember a strong Calvinist who said, oh, if I only knew that I was among the elect, and I was able to tell him, well, I know that I am among the elect, because the Lord said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I took that water of life freely. Therefore, I know that I am among the elect. Oh, if I only knew that I was among, you will never know. You know after you have taken Christ as your Savior, not before. God divulges that secret to no one. He would have everyone to know after you trusted Christ as Savior. But now, the influence of others, I want to bring this to your attention, because others make choices for you, and they're adverse. But others make choices for you, and they're good. You realize that Isaac, Abraham's son, had been single for 40 years. And his father said, it's time for Isaac to have a wife. And he sent out this unknown servant, who was probably Eliezer, he sent him out to choose a wife. And he laid down the instructions concerning the wife that this servant was to choose. And the servant went and chose this wife, and without Isaac ever seeing the woman, he accepted the choice that his father made of his wife. You say, I could not go along with such a thing. Well, it just depends. Let me tell you something that was so interesting. Just recently, an oriental came over to the States to study theology. And before he had graduated, in his second or third year, he received a letter from his parents saying, we have now found just the wife for you. We are sending her. You are to meet her at Philadelphia on a certain day. You are to get to know her in the house of our mutual friend, and then, when it's convenient, marry the woman. And when all the other students heard about what the parents of this fellow had done, they laughed and said, what kind of man are you? You really let your parents choose this wife, are you? And he said, my parents are intelligent people. They love me. They want grandchildren of a certain kind. He said, I'm not concerned about that at all. And so when the day came, he went to Philadelphia and picked up that wife and brought her back and showed her to all his fellow students at the seminary. And when they saw her, they said, we wish we could write to your parents and have them to pick a wife for us. She is a wonderful wife that they've chosen. He said, of course. He said, I trusted in my parents. But sad to say that some of us, if we were to choose a wife or a husband, we would get one that was beautiful, that was rich, that was influential. But you will find that when Abraham was choosing a wife for his son, there were certain spiritual qualities about that woman that Abraham chose. And Isaac was quite prepared to accept the choice made by his father. You realize this? That when I proposed to my wife, I went and asked her father's permission, because it says in 1 Corinthians 7 that the father still has that power to accept or refuse one who is a suitor for his daughter. I simply mentioned that. So for that reason, some parents may wrongly choose, then you suffer for that reason. The same way that Adam made a wrong choice and you suffer. And I regret to tell you that David, in numbering Israel, made a wrong choice, and then God said, punishment is going to come. He said, choose which of the three. And David said, I cannot choose. But by not choosing, he said, God, you choose. And then because of a wrong decision that David had made, suffering came upon the nation of Israel. A plague came. So, by God's grace, when you do make choices, make sure that they are choices that will be beneficial for your fellow man. Do not make choices that will condemn your child to be married, because sometimes if we do not compel it, we push it in such a direction to this person that instead of lifting him up closer to God, will throw him down. Remember those things. And at the same time, instead of making decisions that will cause the people to be plagued by God, make decisions that will cause people to be blessed by God. Like this. If God accepts the decision that you have made, you have to abide by it as best you can. I tell you the truth. I am not in agreement with the choice that our nation made for our president. But in spite of that, God says that we are to fear God, we are to honor the king, we are to be in subjection to those that are in authority. And what does it mean? It means that barring sin, we are to obey those that are in authority. If they tell you that you must obey children, I must obey God rather than man. If they say that I must support evil things, I must obey God rather than man. This is what Peter says twice in chapter 4 and 5 of the Acts. He says this, whether it's right in the sight of God to obey men rather than you, you judge. But we're going to do what God told us to do. They said, you're not to preach the name of Jesus at all. They said, we must obey God rather than men. And so if they tell me that I cannot worship my Savior, that I cannot tell others of my Savior, then the answer is, we must obey God rather than men. But if there are taxes, Paul tells us in Romans 13, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. And so we shall see that what you do is to obey those that are in authority. Now this, please notice that there are personal choices that we make, and God honors them. At times, there are bad choices. The Lord Jesus saw it. When they came to a feast, you notice how they went around and they looked for the best seats, the best rooms. The Lord Jesus said, this is not the thing to do. They chose the best. I confess that if I were invited to a feast, I would choose a seat. But it wouldn't be the best because I've done it before. I've been to places where I was speaking and I looked and some had chocolate desserts and some had vanilla desserts. And the seat that I chose was the one that had a vanilla dessert. And it would be the same way if they had white meat or dark meat chicken. But I confess that I've never seen any place that I've wanted to go and have the highest seat. Now, however, God is telling us that there can be ulterior motives. But notice this. There are some who, in doing service for the Lord, they can continue completely in a service in the kitchen, or they can do their share, and that's the way I interpret Luke 10, and having done their share, then they come and sit at the feet of Jesus. And when they do that, the Lord Jesus will honor that choice. It says, Mary had chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. And so there were some in the world who could know more about the world, who could know more about the Bible, who could enter into and enjoy the things at the feet of Jesus. And if you make that choice, the Lord Jesus will honor that choice. Whatever others might take away from you, the Lord Jesus said, she's made the good choice, and it shall not be taken away from you. And one thing that was ever so difficult to do, it says Moses, when he was grown up, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And why would God put that choice before me? The pleasures of sin, and he says they can be enjoyed. The pleasures of sin are before you, Moses. And also the reproach of Christ, the afflictions with the people of God. And Moses said, I choose afflictions with the people of God, a reproach of Christ. I wonder who here is prepared to make that choice. But understand, it wasn't a selfish thing. It said he looked for the recompense of reward. And Paul makes that same observation. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. But there are choices to be made. Chiefly to feast, sufferings, glory of the flesh. All of these things are choices. And God would have us always to choose the best. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we do ask that you will forgive the bad choices that we've made and the pain that we've inflicted upon other people. Forgive that, our God. And by thy Spirit, draw us. We know that we shall never be inclined to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God unless you do draw us. And so when you do draw us, as David said, when thou didst say, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So let us choose those things that please you and glorify you. And let us not choose the things that are of the flesh. May all others have chosen life and not death. And then in this life, may we choose those things that thou hast set before us for good. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.